20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so freaking much for joining me today. Always appreciate you guys a ton. Today should be the final day with Bart Starr behind me, but I said that once before. Today is take two. Hopefully I'm right this time. If everything goes amazing, members only Q&A on Wednesday will be the very first time in the new look studio. So that is my hope. I'm really, really hoping so, but if not, should be in the very near future. But I digress. Let's jump right into our main topic for today. We know that a lot of free agents have already been signed, and we know that Green Bay has a lot of free agents that are set to become free agents, or a lot of players that are set to become free agents in 2027. We've previewed this already. We've gone over the potential contract extension candidates for 2027. But what I wanted to take a look at today is, now that free agency is done and over with, how have the prices changed for the Packers who are set to become free agents next year? Because the answer is probably somewhat significant. There are a lot of players in this last free agency class who signed new deals that have similar sort of situations as current Green Bay Packers who are set to become free agents next year, and they got some pretty juicy free agent deals. So let's go over it. Let's break it down. We've talked over a couple of these already and just sort of passing. We haven't broken them down in any major way, but let's start with Christian Watson. We know Alec Pierce signed a massive four-year, $114 million deal with $84 million fully guaranteed, $28.5 million per year. If you're wondering the tale of the tape between Alec Pierce and Christian Watson, and yes, actually, I had to do a double take on it because I sort of remember, but sort of don't, that Alec Pierce was actually in the same draft class as Christian Watson. Alec Pierce is 25 years old. Watson is 26 years old. Pierce will be 26 in May. Watson will be 27 in May. So Watson is 1 year older. Alec Pierce so far, in the same amount of time, has played in 64 games. Watson has played in 48. So Pierce has almost played a full season more than Christian Watson, despite the fact that they were in the same draft class. In that time frame, Alec Pierce has 157 catches for 2,937 yards, 18.7 yards per catch, and 17 touchdowns. Christian Watson has 133 catches, so 24 fewer, 2,264 yards, a little less than 700 less, and 20 touchdowns, three touchdowns more than Pierce has. If Watson if he would have played those additional 16 games, very easy to see that he would have clearly had more receptions, clearly would have had more yards, and he already has three more touchdowns. Pierce would have still had the better average at 18.7 yards per catch, but you can understand if Watson were healthy, it's not even a conversation. Watson would be blowing Pierce's numbers out of the water. But Christian has missed way more games, and Alec Pierce has only missed four games in his career, not to mention he is a full year younger as well. Either way, Alec Pierce has now paved the way for Christian Watson's contract extension. 4 years, $114 million would, my guess, almost be to a T what Watson gets. In fact, I wouldn't be stunned if it was about 4 years, $120 million, hitting that perfect $30 million per year. But I'd be willing to bet you that Christian gets a little bit less in guarantees. It wouldn't surprise me if Christian's guarantees came in more about $60 to $65 million per year. They can go to Christian and say, we're willing to give you the Pierce deal, or in fact, we're going to give you a little bit more. The agent's going to be happy because on paper, it looks like 30 mil per year. You got even more than Alec Pierce. But with Watson's injury history, I think Green Bay is going to want to protect themselves on the guarantee side. I expect something to get done. I expect Christian Watson to sign a very similar deal to what Alec Pierce got. But make no mistake about it, the Alec Pierce four-year, $114 million, $84 million guaranteed contract has set the bar for Christian Watson's contract, and that is not what you're looking at when Christian Watson gets his deal done. Next up is Tucker Kraft, and the best comp is absolutely nobody. There's no comp in this tight end market that is really worth talking about. Isaiah Likely had the best contract this offseason for a tight end. He got 3 years, $40 million, over $13.3 million per year. Tucker Kraft is just the better tight end. So the low end, you can guarantee at minimum, 3 years, $40 million. That would be something catastrophic for Tucker Kraft. It's just, there's no way. Kraft is going to get something way more than that. I still go back to the Trey McBride extension, 4 years, $76 million. I would guess it's right around that for Tucker Kraft. That is what makes by far and away the most sense to me. I think it's a fair deal. Kraft is coming off the ACL injury. It's about $19 million per year. Maybe that's a little bit on the high end. Maybe about 4 years, 72 for about $18 million per year. But there's no tight end contract that's changed the calculus for Tucker Kraft. I think he's still looking top of the market. I would expect right around or maybe a little bit below that Trey McBride signing from a couple of years ago. Jaden Reed talked a little bit about this yesterday of sort of contract expectations. Wandale Robinson this offseason got 4 years, $70 million, up to $78 million. Wandale Robinson is going to be 25 or was 25 when he signed the deal. Jaden Reed will be 26 next offseason, so he'll be 1 year older. Robinson so far in 54 games had 268 catches, 2,465 yards, a 9.2 yard average per catch, and 9 touchdowns. All right, that's Wandale. Jaden Reed in 40 games. Remember, he's a year behind Wandale Robinson, right? So in 40 games, he has 138 catches. He is 130 catches short of Wandale Robinson, but he has 1,857 yards. He's only a little bit more than 600 yards short of where Robinson is. That's because Robinson only 9.2 yards per catch. Reed has 13.5 yards. And with 14 games fewer, Wandale Robinson in his career, only 9 touchdowns. Jaden Reed has 15. So Reed is, in my opinion, easily might be aggressive, but he's the better wide receiver than Wandale Robinson. I don't have any issue in saying that. And Robinson just got 4 years, 70 up to 78. It wouldn't stun me if Jaden Reed got around 4 years, 80. Wouldn't stun me one bit. If he has a good year this year in Green Bay, 4 years, 80 is probably what you're looking at. There's not a chance in hell that Jaden takes anything less than 4 years, 70, which is what Wandale Robinson just got. If Green Bay right now said, hey, Jaden, we'll give you 4 years, 60, no chance. No chance. 4 years, 70 up to 78 would be the bare minimum if I'm Jaden's agent. So yes, Wandale Robinson, slot wide receiver, worse yards per catch by about 4.3 yards per catch, 6 fewer touchdowns and 14 more games. There's no chance that Jaden Reed right now would get less than Wandale Robinson. So no question about it. Robinson changed the calculus for Jaden Reed probably quite a bit. Number 4, Keyshawn Nixon. This one is tough. There is no perfect Keyshawn Nixon comp here. Ages are all over the place. The view of what Keyshawn Nixon is as a corner is all over the place. I do want to bring up one player here, though, because it actually is a little bit interesting. Alante Taylor. I'll start by saying, I am not saying that Keyshawn Nixon is the same corner that Alante Taylor is. If I had my choice between Keyshawn Nixon or Alante Taylor, I would take Alante Taylor. All right, I think Alante Taylor is the better player. But this one's actually a little bit interesting. Alante Taylor, 6 foot 199, has played in the slot, has played outside. He is 27 years old when he gets his new deal. Now Nixon, 5'10", 200, played in the slot, played outside. He will be 30 years old next year when he hits free agency. He's about 3 years older. All right, at the same time of the contract, right? So 27 this year for Taylor, 30 next year for Nixon. Nixon's also about 2 inches shorter than Alante Taylor. That matters, but they're about the same weight. Again, versatility, slot, and outside. Listen to the PFF grades over the last 4 years. Alante Taylor, 54.5, 45.7, 45.0, 63.8. Keyshawn Nixon, 61.2, 60, 64.1, 66.7. Nixon has outgraded him every year over the last 4 years. Your mileage may vary on how much stock you put into that. And I'll say again, I think Alante Taylor is the better corner. PFF would disagree. PFF would say pretty vehemently, Keyshawn has been the better corner. As far as targets and completions, Alante Taylor has been targeted 376 times, 245 completions, 65.2% completion percentage, 2,714 yards, 20 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a 99.8 passer rating, and 20 penalties. All right. Keyshawn Nixon, 228 for 322, 70.8% completion percentage, 2,395 yards, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 103.5 quarterback rating, 29 penalties. So PFF grades favor Nixon a little bit. Nixon has allowed fewer yards, but a better completion percentage, 4 fewer touchdowns, same amount of interceptions, a slightly better quarterback rating, 9 more penalties. It's not as far off as it seems, at least statistically. Alante Taylor got 3 years, $58 million. And no chance that Keyshawn Nixon gets that money, especially at age 30, a little bit smaller. And I think anybody with eyes would tell you, listen, Keyshawn's not worth that money, okay? But if I'm Keyshawn Nixon's agent, I'm looking at what Alante Taylor just got. And I'm saying, my guy can do that. And maybe I don't need 3 years, 58, but I want 3 years, 48. And if you're Green Bay, I hope you say, all right, go get your 3 years, 48 from some other team that's willing to give it to you. But I would not be stunned if Keyshawn's agent looks at Alante Taylor's deal and said, listen, I know we're 3 years older, I know we're a couple inches shorter, but my guy can do what that guy did. And he got paid. And now we're a year later, contract or the salary cap goes up again. This is around what we want. I don't think he's going to get it. But I guarantee you, Keyshawn and his agents are looking at that Alante Taylor deal and saying, we want a piece of that pie. Maybe not the full pie, but we want a piece of that pie. All right, next up is LVN. LVN's an interesting one. Two players that signed this offseason, Boye Mafe and Joseph Asai. Boye Mafe will be 28 years old in November this year. Joseph Asai will be 26 years old this year. LVN next year will only be 25 when he signs, going into his age 26 season. Mafe signed a contract for 3 years, $60 million coming off his rookie contract, $20 million per year. Asai signed a 3 year, $34.5 million deal, $11.5 million per year coming off his rookie contract. Mafe, in his 4 seasons, has 161 pressures and 20 sacks per PFF. LVN, 69 pressures and 13 sacks in 3 seasons. I'm going to be willing to bet you that LVN does not get the 90 plus pressures. Maybe he could get the sacks, right? Maybe he's about 7 sacks short. Well, he's 7 sacks short exactly of Boye Mafe. Maybe he could get there in sacks. He's probably not going to get there in pressures. But he's a couple years younger, also coming off his rookie contract. Mafe's PFF grades, 64.6, 73.9, 75.1, and 70.3. LVN's 62.3, 52.9, 75.7. That 75.7 grade last year is better than Mafe's ever gotten any of his seasons so far. Now, Mafe's been more consistent, but if LVN puts another 70-plus PFF grade up there and puts the 7 sacks up and maybe has a 40-50 pressure season, I'd be willing to bet you LVN is pretty damn close to that 3 year, $60 million for Boye Mafe if he were to hit free agency next year. I bet it's not far off. Now, Joseph Asai is probably the better comp right now. Again, 3 years, $34.5 million, $11.5 million per year. He's 26 years old. Again, LVN will be his 26-year-old season next year. He's at 117 pressures in 4 seasons. Again, right now, LVN is at 69 pressures. He need a little bit less. He need 48 pressures this year to tie Asai, which is, I think, possible. And then Asai has a total so far of 15 sacks in 4 years. LVN is 13 so far in 3 years. He'd only need two to tie Asai. Asai's PFF grades 53.7, 68.4, 58.3, and 64.0. LVN is trending to be better than that. LVN also has a fifth-year option worth $15 million coming up this offseason, right around there. And that's where this is interesting. Asai, again, got 11.5 mil per year. Mafe got about 20 mil per year. And I would put LVN probably right smack dab in the middle of those two players. I think LVN is probably trending better than Asai. And I think he's trending not quite as well as Boye Mafe, although not far off. I think he's probably in that 15, 16 million range, which is exactly what the fifth year option is. We've talked about LVN in depth of whether or not you should pick up the fifth year option. I think it's right on the borderline. I would probably not do it. And if he plays great, I'll pay the 20 mil per year like Boye Mafe got. But if he doesn't, I can now get out of it and just say no thanks. Or maybe again, he's more towards the Joseph Asai contract. But it does make a really interesting number. I bet Green Bay picks up the 15 million. Like I said, it falls right smack in the middle of Asai and Boye Mafe. And I think that's probably right around where he should be. That's going to be an interesting one. But how he plays this year will go a long way. And if he's more on the Asai side of things, again, 11.5 mil per year. If he's more on the Mafe side of things, 20 mil per year. We'll be right back. Devontae Wyatt had no great comp. There was no player that was like him. You usually just don't let Devontae Wyatt of the world hit free agency. That's sort of the moral of the story. It's hard to find good, talented defensive tackles. But I will say this. Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave, two sort of three technique players who are past their primes, got 12.5 mil and 11.5 mil per year. Wyatt will exceed both of those numbers. John Franklin Myers, somebody that's a little bit older, but has actually gotten significantly more pressure than Wyatt has. It has been more consistent than Wyatt has, got 21 mil per year. Wyatt is not in that John Franklin Myers category, but he's going to be higher than the Allen or Hargrave category. So he's probably somewhere also in that 15 to 16 million per year range. But because of scarcity and talent, if he went in the 17, 18 mil per year range, I wouldn't be totally stunned by it. Not whatsoever. So probably not anywhere near that John Franklin Myers number, JFM number, but definitely more than the Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave number. That's where I would put Devontae Wyatt right now. Luke Musgrave, two good comps here. Musgrave in his career has 65 catches for 649 yards and a touchdown with a year to go left on his deal. Julian Hill, 33 catches, 288 yards, no touchdowns. Daniel Bellinger, 88 catches, 934 yards, and four touchdowns. Musgrave is probably right on the fringes of those two players, probably somewhere in the middle. He could probably hit the Bellinger number with a good year this year. Julian Hill, 3 years, $15 million. Bellinger, 3 years, $24 million. So probably a three-year deal for Musgrave, somewhere between 15 and 24. If he has a bad year, probably closer to Julian Hill at $15 million. If he has a good year, probably closer to Bellinger at 24. If he has a great year, probably exceeds Bellinger by maybe just a little bit. That's where I put Musgrave right now. Dontavian Wicks, Jalen Naylor is probably the contract that makes a lot of sense here. Jalen Naylor got 3 years, $35 million this offseason. 11.7 million per year. That sounds like a lot for Dontavian Wicks. It's not. Tutu Atwell got 1 year, $10 million a couple of years ago. And he's nowhere near as good as what Wicks has put on tape so far. If you look at Naylor, Naylor in his career has played 55 games, has 69 catches for 1,066 yards and 11 touchdowns. Wicks in nine fewer games has 108 catches, almost 40 more than Naylor, 1,328 yards, almost, you know, over 200 more than Naylor, and the same amount of touchdowns, 11 touchdowns. Again, that's in nine fewer games. So Wicks, once he plays this year, assuming he stays healthy at all and gets good playing time, is going to blow away Naylor's production so far. Meanwhile, if you're thinking, well, yeah, but Naylor was better at the end and had a good year. Naylor had 29 catches for 444 yards and four touchdowns this past year as a Minnesota Viking. I would be willing to bet you that Wicks is probably better than 29 for 444 and four touchdowns. Last year was at 33, 32 and two touchdowns, so he's a little bit worse, but I'd be willing to bet you that Wicks this year does better than that. So the Jalen Naylor, 3-year 35, exactly right around what I would expect for Dontavian Wicks next year. In fact, I wouldn't even be surprised if it was a little bit more than that. Carrington Valentine. Here's another really interesting one in a comp for Carrington Valentine. How about Cordarrelle Flott, who signed from the New York Giants to the Tennessee Titans? Cordarrelle Flott was 24 and a half years old this year. Valentine is a free agent. Next year, he'll be 25 and a half years old. Listen to how similar these numbers are in overall productivity so far. Cordarrelle Flott, when targeted, 120 for 196. Valentine, 100 for 166. Flott, 61.2% completion percentage allowed. Valentine, 60.2%. Flott, 1,417 yards allowed. Valentine, 1,249. Flott, 6 touchdowns allowed. Valentine, 7 touchdowns allowed. Flott, 3 interceptions. Valentine, 3 interceptions. Passer rating, Flott, 87.1, Valentine 90.2, Flott 8 penalties, Valentine 9 penalties, and Valentine still has a full year to go. Cordarrelle Flott got 3 years, $45 million, $15 million per year. That's probably going to be right around the going rate, especially if Valentine starts this year and has just even a solid year. PFF grades, by the way, Flott had 67.8, 53.4, 62.2 and 65.6. Valentine, 57.5, 65.5 and 62.3. Over the last 3 years, on average, Valentine's grades have been better. If Valentine just goes out and has a solid to good year this year, 3 years, $45 million, which is what Flott got in Tennessee, is probably around the contract that Valentine's going to be asking for. A very, very strong comp there for Carrington Valentine. Carl Brooks, Logan Hall is the player I'm looking at here. Logan Hall, 26 years old this year. He's played in the league 4 years, has 89 pressures and 11 sacks per PFF. Carl Brooks will be 27 next year. He's only played in the year 3 years at this point. He's got 87 pressures, only 2 fewer than Hall in 1 less year, and has 9 sacks compared to Hall's 11, again, 1 fewer year. PFF grades, here's the difference. Logan Hall started with a 36.4, went to 52.3, 59.3, and then last year, 66.8. Brooks has been the opposite. Started with a 68.8, then went to a 61.8, and then this past year went to a 46.3. So Brooks is trending in the wrong direction. Hall was trending in the right direction. But if Carl Brooks has even a solid year this year, Logan Hall's 2-year, $13.75 million deal is probably exactly what Carl Brooks is going to be looking at in free agency next year. Isaiah McDuffie, no perfect comp here, but Micah McFadden's 1 year, $3.75 million deal is probably as close to a comp as you're going to get. It was a bad year to be sort of a middle-class linebacker. There weren't many deals like that that were available. And so somebody like McDuffie, if he doesn't play a ton this year, little special teams, little sub defense, 1 year, $3.75 million is probably what he's looking at. Again, very similar to Micah McFadden. And last but not least, Sky Moore. The best deal that you can look at for what Sky Moore could be looking at next year is the Sky Moore deal that Green Bay gave him. There's no better comp than the one that he actually got. Of course, it'll depend on how he does this upcoming season, but if you're looking for the comp there, the actual player himself is probably the best comp. Those are your Green Bay Packers free agents in 2027 and the contracts that you could be comparing to slash expecting based on what we saw in free agency this past year. It's interesting. I think Alec Pierce did wonders for Christian Watson. I think Wandale Robinson did wonders for Jaden Reed. Alante Taylor doing his best to help out Keyshawn Nixon. Boye Mafe and Joseph Asai sort of set, to some extent, the LVN market. Julian Hill and Daniel Bellinger probably set the Luke Musgrave market. Jalen Naylor did so for Dontavian Wicks. Cordarrelle Flott for Carrington Valentine. Logan Hall for Carl Brooks. And Micah McFadden probably for Isaiah McDuffie. That, my friends, is going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. You're amazing, amazing people. Love you guys so much. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch, Zillertson, Large Charles, Jake Kohner, Will Glass, and Imperium Collectibles. We're going to be back tomorrow with a new backdrop. We hope so. I'll see you guys then. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.